Welcome to the Broadway Radio Show. I'm Donald Feltham, and we are going to go behind the scenes on a very big Broadway musical. That musical is New York, New York. On this episode, we are going to talk to Tony-nominated orchestrators Daryl Waters and Sam Davis. Hi, Daryl and Sam.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. I'm thrilled to have you on because I love taking our listeners kind of behind the scenes into the creative process behind a big musical like this. And just to give people an idea of who you guys are, Sam's your actual credits on the show are music supervision, arrangements, and co-orchestrations. And Daryl, you are listed as co-orchestrations, but both of you have extensive credits. Sam worked on Company, An American in Paris, the revival of Sideshow, as well as the films Beauty and the Beast and the upcoming Wonka movie. And Daryl, you have a Tony Award for your work on Memphis and a Tony nomination for Shuffle Along. First off, is this the first time you guys have worked together on a show?
Yes. I'd been a big fan of Daryl's for many years, and I'd seen a bunch of his shows and always wanted to work with him, but we'd never had the opportunity or even met until this project. So,
I always wanted it. Sam's career.
Hardly.
Well, before we jump into the actual process of what happened with New York, New York, let's talk a little bit, at least give the listeners a little bit of background as to what exactly an orchestrator does on a show and how an orchestrator gets involved with a show, how you kind of get pulled into this. So I don't know who wants to start, but one of you just go ahead and jump in.
Daryl, you got it. Okay, great. People get confused about what arrangement means versus what orchestration means. And I guess the short version is that an arrangement means, you know, the big picture, like all the creative work you do in terms to realize the songwriter's intent. And the orchestration is just what the instruments play. So basically the orchestrator is writing out each individual part for every instrument and determining how they're going to play together and interpreting the music, you know, for the instruments. That's the key part of it, the instruments.
In other words,
Sam had three times as much work as I had to do because he did all the arrangements as well, which are absolutely fantastic.
I'm glad you actually tackled that because that was my very next bullet point, which was tell us the difference between arrangements and orchestrations because no one ever knows what that is. So I'm glad you took that right off the bat.
Yeah. I mean, we have these great songs by John Kander. And so the arrangement is determining how it's going to be presented in our show. Like, you know, the tempo, the how many times we're going to sing the chorus, the underscoring, that's all into the arrangements. And then the actually what the instruments are going to play, the orchestra, that is the orchestration job. So as you can tell, it's a lot of work. So, I laid out most of the arrangements in the show and then would turn them over to Daryl and he would figure out, okay, well, the trombone's going to have to play that part and, mm-hmm. you know, the strings are going to have to play this part. And then we would go back and forth collaborating like that.
And that's, I actually was just explaining this to some friends about a week ago when I found out you guys were coming on the show and they were like, well, what exactly does the orchestrator do? Because they just, I think everybody just assumes that the songwriters, the composing team, handle all this stuff themselves. And I said, no. Yes. Someone has to sit down and determine all the different instruments and what they're going to play and all that different music. All those different parts of music have to be put together.
It's good that you think that, though. I was going to say, it's good that you think that because we're all trying to support John Kander's vision. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so it's like, you know, he writes this music and then our job is to kind of realize it. But it's also, you know, an audience member going to see the show, I think their impression should be of this great music, not necessarily, you know, what we did.
Right.
Know? Yeah,
and the fact that an audience member is confused by it is understandable because there's actually a lot of collaboration between all of us. There's some stuff that people might consider composition just because it's outside of what the actual composers did, but it is actually considered arranging.
So, how did the two of you get involved in New York, New York specifically?
I had been really lucky to work with John Kanner and Susan Stroman on a few other projects. And most recently, I did a show with them at the Vineyard called The Beast in the Jungle, which, like New York, New York, had tons of dance music and was a huge, you know, project. So I was thrilled that they invited me aboard on this one. And as we were working on the show, it just became clear the score was huge. There was almost 4,000 bars of music.
Wow.
So there was no way I could do even a fraction of it all on my own. So we were definitely going to need someone to, like, you know, share the orchestration duties. And like I said, I was a big fan of Daryl's, and you know, I'd seen all these shows and thought he would be a great fit for the material, and he was.
Well, I have to say, when they first called me, I was like, "Do you all have the right Daryl Waters?" Because you know, it's. I mean, it is a huge show, and it's outside of what I normally do. So I was, you know, I was thrilled to actually come on board and, you know, add what I could to the show.
As you may have mentioned multiple times, you're kind of helping to fulfill the vision of John Kander, and you're working with this team. You're working not only with John Kander and the memory of Fred Ebb, but you're also working with Lin-Manuel Miranda, who was collaborating with Kander on some new stuff. So discuss kind of what it was like working with them. I mean, let's face it, Kander is an absolute legend from the late golden age of Broadway musicals. And in a lot of ways, Lin-Manuel is a modern legend, because not only is he a fantastic writer, but he absolutely loves musical theater, and he respects the history of musicals. So talk about working with the two of these people.
Well, you know, you would think that in the stratosphere working with these legends that it would be really difficult and tense, and there'd be late night screaming matches, and I'm sorry to disappoint you all, but they're like the nicest people ever, and the whole creative team, and they've all been, you know, John Kander and Susan Stroman and Tommy Thompson, they've been working together for 30 years or so, and they're all very comfortable with each other, and so loving and caring, and so the whole vibe of the project was just very wonderful and kind and you know, nice, but also, you know, challenging. They are legends, so you know, I would pinch myself. I'm in a room with John Kander and Lin-Manuel Miranda, but they then you would kind of forget, because they're both so connected to their kind of innocent childlike creativity. And you know, John would be at the piano and play something, and Lin would be, "I love that, that's great, play that again," and just was so ex- Lynn was so excited to be in a room with John. You know, John is a legend to him too. And that kind of contagious, that, you know, that spirit was contagious. So I think we all, you know, I definitely had so many moments where I was geeking out, like, oh my God, I'm sitting at the piano with John Kander. And you know, that started at the top.
Sure. Right. And Sam, you had worked with Kander before, but Daryl, you had not, right?
I have not, no. It was really, for me, it was interesting because I had, you know, it's whenever you're working with a new team, you just never know what to expect. But when I came into this process, even though I was the new kid on the block, it was like I'd been with them forever. And, you know, they treated me absolutely like one of the family. And it was just nice to get that kind of support coming, you know, coming from them. Which, of course, made it, you know, easy, made me feel more comfortable about being able to do the job that I needed to do. But, you know, as the thing that was really great is that, like Sam said, everybody really works together. It was just a nice, warm environment.
You know, one of the more interesting things about the cast recording and the score of the show is it has such a wide variety of musical styles because you are telling the show is telling a variety of different character stories, all of whom are bringing different things to New York, arriving in New York. But the show, I mean, it has jazz, it has swing, it has classical, it has opera, it has, you know, all those things. So talk about the challenges of doing all those different styles, but still staying true to kind of this cohesive sound for a show like this.
Daryl, I don't know how you feel, but for me, this was like a once in a lifetime job because of that. I mean,
absolutely.
We'll never have this variety of styles ever again. I mean, it's unbelievable. First of all, to have so much music, but then to have the opportunity to have, like you said, you know, Afro-Cuban jazz and big, you know, swing, big band numbers and a violin concerto and an opera aria in the same show. I mean, of course, it's all tied in with the story of the eclectic, you know, New York and the musicians who want to make it there. But it was really, that was the thing that I think for both of us made it such a dream to work on, was that you usually work in a very narrow lane. Like, okay, well, this show is this style, and then you do that. And so to be able to change hats so often was amazing and also challenging. And that's why I was so grateful to have Daryl. Like, you know, my strength is much more in the classical world, so I was very comfortable with the opera and the violin concerto, but I had no experience working on Afro-Cuban jazz. And so I was really grateful to lean on Daryl for those sequences. And, you know, I think we helped each other out in those areas. But, you know, that was a real thrill. Yeah, eclecticism was such a thrill.
Daryl, were you going to add something?
No, basically just seconding what Sam was saying. It's, you know, it was interesting to be able to, you know, he actually like laid out the assignments in terms of, you know, I did end up doing a lot of the Afro-Cuban and a lot of the jazz stuff. But it absolutely played to both of our strengths to do it that way. And I do need to add that, you know, all of this begins with, you know, the foundation of the house, and that's what Sam laid out as the arranger. So, I mean, like, there's a lot of stuff that was already done before I even had to like write my first note that made it so much easier to do my job.
But lest we let Daryl get away with being too modest, a lot of it was like, and then I would lay out, and then the trumpet player comes in and plays an amazing solo. Go. You know, I'm an enthusiastic, you know, I love swing music and Afro-Cuban jazz, but I'm enthusiastic, but not always so knowledgeable, especially in the specifics. So I would just say, like, in general, this would be what would be great to hear. And then I was so grateful that Daryl could fill it in, you know.
And the tricky part is not only that you're dealing with so many different styles, but as I said, when you listen to the cast recording or you see the show, it doesn't feel jarring. That you, the shifts between the different styles do not feel jarring. And that's, I think, a real, you know, credit to you guys, because it the whole score is of itself. It's all of one, but it has all these different elements, which is in some ways, it's sort of like the epitome of New York, in the fact that it's this one big bustling city, but it has all these different ethnicities and styles and neighborhoods. And I think you guys kind of capture that in the orchestrations.
Well, thank you. I think this is a great moment to give a little, we have to give a little bit of a shout out to Susan Stroman and the writers, because so much of the arrangements that I laid out for Daryl that we were just talking about all came under their guidance. And, you know, you never get an opportunity to, I would never have sat down and been like, you know, we should have a violin concerto in the show. That all came from the director and the writers. And Stroh is, you know, one of the great director choreographers we had. And she's very, very tuned to the music. And she was very picky about what the music should be and what each transition should accomplish and what the ballet music should be. And I worked on it with her for 3 or 4 years, and she was exacting. Uh-huh. And, you know, Daryl and I would never have been able to do all this without her, you know, like we didn't do it in a vacuum, you know, she was a great inspiration in order to, and especially that, what you're talking about, tying the score together, making it sure everything was a part of the same show.
Another part of that also is that when you're doing a score like this with all these kinds of different styles, what ties it together are trying to make sure that you've got themes that are running through like threads, so that it all, so that that's what actually helps make it feel like it's of the same, even though you're going from classical to Afro-Cuban. So if you'll, the average person might not even notice, but when you're listening to the score, you're going to hear that New York theme go in and out a lot, because and in various forms. So, you know, it doesn't get tiring, as well as quite a few other songs. It's just, you know, that's what makes it of one piece.
Yes. And we and Stroman and the writers, we all worked very hard on mapping that out together. Like what theme can we use here to connect this? And so that was very much a collaborative effort.
And there is, as you said, there's a lot of dance music in this show. I mean, and thankfully, which we don't always get, we have a cast recording that captures, I'm assuming, most, if not all, of the dance music, right?
I think a good deal of it. Yes.
Yeah. Which is a real rarity. We don't get this much dance music. And are there any challenges for you guys when you're doing the dance stuff as opposed to the just the songs in general? I mean, you worked with Stroman, as you said, for many years to try and get these right.
Yes. Well, I mean, she's the best in that she really, really cares about the dance supporting the visual. I mean, the music supporting the visual. And she's very tuned into that. So I worked really hard on the dance arrangements to make sure that they were always supporting and matching what the choreography was. And then Daryl and I collaborated to make sure that the orchestration was doing the same thing. And you know, to work with a choreographer who cares so much about that is rare, and it was thrilling.
There were a lot of places where, you know, you had to make sure if they're doing a particularly very strong dance movement, it's got to be reflected in the orchestrations. If there's a moment that is, you know, relatively soft, you got to figure out how to actually make that work too. So, I mean, that in the simplest terms, that's, you know, how we tried to make sure that we were on board with what it was that Susan wanted.
One of the other things I wanted to talk to you guys about, and I'm not sure how involved with this you were, but I'm assuming in some ways you were, which is the interpolating Cameron Ebb songs from other shows into this score. You know, we've got A Quiet Thing from Flora the Red Menace, and we've got Marry Me from The Rink. And it's how, you know, the process of blending those into a score that they were not originally written for, but not making sure they don't sound like they're just plopped into a score and making them part of the piece. Is that a challenge for you guys?
Yes. In fact, if I could single out one song that involved both Daryl and myself, that was a challenge. It was the number But the World Goes Round, right? Which was written for the original movie of New York, New York. But it has also become so famous, as you know, Liza Minnelli and countless other singers have sung it. And so we had to figure out what was our version going to be that was going to serve our character and our story and our show. And you know, I worked a lot on the arrangement with the authors and with Stroh and with Anna Uzeli, making sure that we kind of forgot about all the other versions and forgot about Liza Minnelli and just tried to tailor it for this moment in the story in the show. And then Daryl, we spent hours on the phone about that one, if I remember.
Yep.
There are so many orchestrations of it that exist already. And what do you allude, you know, and basically throwing most of that out and starting from scratch to try to get to the original intention of what the song was. So, that was a challenge. That was true of all the songs that were not new, you know, that were, it's just definitely true of the title song, which is the most famous song of all time. How are we going to do it?
Right. And, exactly.
And it was true of all the other songs you mentioned. There was a lot of, you know, again, the great thing was having the script, having the story to ground us.
Sometimes you're happy and sometimes you're sad. But the world goes round. Sometimes you lose every nickel you had. But the world goes round. Sometimes your dreams get broken in pieces. But that doesn't alter a thing. Take it from me, there's still gonna be a summer, a winter, a fall, and a spring. And sometimes a friend starts treating you bad, but the world goes round. And sometimes your heart breaks with a deafening. Somebody loses and somebody wins, and one day it's kicks, man, it's kicks in the shins. But the planet spins and the world. Sometimes your dreams get broken in pieces, but that doesn't matter at all. Take it from me, there's still gonna be a summer, a winter, a spring, and a fall. Treating you bad, but the world goes around. And sometimes your heart breaks with a deafening sound. Somebody loses and
it's definitely noticeable in something like A Quiet Thing also, because yes, it's such a well-known song, at least among theater people. Yeah. And the original Liza Minnelli version and the other versions that have been done. And I mean, to give you guys credit, because your version kind of takes it to a different place, which it obviously is in service of the story and the script.
I actually have to say, to give a lot of credit to our vocal arranger, David Loud, who laid out most of that arrangement. His concept was to take it back to the essence of what the song was, that forget all the versions that have come out over the last 40 years or however long it's been, and just get to the essence of the song. So he really did a great job laying that out, and then I orchestrated it under his guidance that way.
So you guys must be thrilled with the cast recording, since it contains so much music. Yes. And it's a wonderful sounding cast recording, beautifully produced. But I have a question which I don't think I have ever asked anybody, which is, when it comes to actually getting into the studio and doing a cast recording, are you guys involved at all? I mean, do you guys get in there also? I mean, your work is pretty much done, I would think, but you still have a studio orchestra to deal with. And I know you have a musical director who probably jumps in on that, but do you guys get involved in the cast recording?
In the case of this album, I was very involved because I was one of the producers on it. Okay. And so I was very involved in terms of making decisions about how much of the score we were going to record and what dialogue we'd include, et cetera. Daryl, we did do a few transitions and things that were new for the album. And so, in fact, there were several instrumental pieces that are much longer than what we do in the show.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And there's some songs that have endings that don't in the show. Just we knew you had to make it more of a listening experience. And so we were definitely involved in writing the new stuff. And you know, we were both there at all the sessions, you know, keeping an eye on things and raising our hands if something didn't sound good. Mm-hmm.
It's these cast albums, the thing about them is that stuff goes by so quick. You have so little time that you need as many ears as possible on the stuff, hopefully to catch what, you know, whatever. Because you do a song, then hopefully you do it two or three more times maybe, and then you got to move on. So hopefully somebody's logging where we need to like take another look at something.
Yes.
As I have said, and as I think you also said, it's, you know, the cast recording is a different animal than seeing the show because it is a listening experience. And it's going to be, for a lot of people, it's going to be, who can't get to New York to actually see New York on stage, it's going to be their single exposure to the show and their single exposure to the music. And I really love the fact that the album, it has this spirit behind it, which I think is attributable to probably Stroman and Kander and Miranda. And that's the absolute love of music. And it's also, you know, it's also obviously the driving force for the characters in the show. Do either of you have like a favorite track on the cast recording that you think really shows off your work? And since you guys worked on kind of different things, you might have different tracks.
Daryl, when do you go first on this one?
I think it's probably, I want to say My Own Music, which is, a track that, basically, it's a guy talking about, you know, how he wishes that, wherever he came from, he actually wants to be able to do what he does. He can't do it there, which is Natchez, but he's coming to New York with that intention. And there's just, an ebullience about the whole piece, because all the other people that he's working with also get involved and express their dreams as well. And it just keeps building and building. There's a dance section in the middle, and it just explodes by the end.
I'm gonna walk onto that bandstand with my Selma B flat silver bell trumpet, just like Louis Armstrong. And when people hear me blow, they're gonna start dancing. I'm gonna show all those people who said I was a nobody in Natchez, a nobody in the army, a nobody in the kitchen, that I am somebody. I hear my own music, I sing the words to my own song. And if someone don't like it, or somebody thinks that's wrong, well, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I draw my own pictures. I see the world through my own eyes. And if someone don't buy it, or just wants to criticize, well, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Nobody knows what's going on in my soul, or what's going on inside my brain. Nobody knows just where I've been or where I'm going. So listen to me now, and I'll try to explain. I play my own solo. My fingers know where the song goes. And when the music's swinging and all the world starts singing, and something that was only inside of me grows, well, well, what about you, kid?
My name is Mateo Diaz. You see lemon meringue pie, but I see tarta de merengue y limón. Jazz on top, Cuban on the bottom. Hey! Same music, different accents. Knows what's going on in my soul, or what's going on inside my brain. Nobody knows just where I've been or where I'm going. So listen to me now, and I'll try. And I'll try to explain.
It is a good one. It's because when I first heard the track, because I have not seen the show yet, but when I first heard the track, I thought, oh my God, this track really captures a lot of the spirit of this musical. It just does.
Yes. I mean, I'm a big fan of all of the big production number tracks. I'd say just a personal favorite of mine is was one of the montage ones. It's called New York in Summer. Mm-hmm. And it's track 3, I think. And it's one of my favorites, mostly because we didn't get to do it in the show. We only play about 8 bars of it in the show, and then it goes into a scene. But also because I love it because that the kind of Bernsteinish classical on the town sound that it has, you don't see very much in shows these days. And I sometimes fear that that kind of sound has been forgotten. So I'm very thrilled to get that on the album.
Well, you have brought it back, my friend, because between that one and New York in the Snow, those are my 2 actual favorites in the whole show.
It's been an interesting Broadway season this past season because we've had, you know, as usual, we've had our jukebox musicals and we've had, you know, the quirky small musicals like Kimberly Akimbo. Yeah. But at the same time, we've also had, thankfully, 2 big, brassy, bold, out there, big orchestra musicals with you guys and Some Like It Hot. I mean, it's so nice to see that style has not faded away and is not dead.
Yep.
It's back. Yes. It's still alive on Broadway. And there is nothing, I tell people this all the time. There is nothing better than sitting in a theater in New York and hearing a big orchestra playing a big score.
Yeah.
With wonderful orchestrations, I should say. So what we'll start with Daryl. But what is next for each of you? I know you guys, because I know other people in this biz who work on this, on the kind of behind the scenes pieces. Oftentimes you have multiple projects that you're juggling all at once. But Daryl, what is there anything you're working on that you can talk about?
Well, I just helped to put up Water for Elephants as orchestrator down in Atlanta. I don't know what the next steps are for that, but it looks very promising. It's a very exciting show. And also I'm doing Pal Joey at City Center in the fall with the hopes of coming in New York in the spring. And Boop the Musical is coming in. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, I'm really curious about, I mean, Water for Elephants, I've heard really good things about, but I'm really excited for Pal Joey just because it's a difficult show to get to work.
Yes, it is.
And yes. I love, of course, it's probably one of the best Rodgers and Hart scores of all time. But I know that there's a whole new take on the characters, and I'm assuming you're doing pretty fresh new orchestrations for this, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's with Savion, everything is fresh and new.
And it's I cannot wait to see how that goes, because I love the score and I love the fact that you're doing a new take on it. So Sam, what are you working on?
I don't think I'm allowed to mention the project yet, but I'm reuniting with John Kander, which is a thrill. Mm-hmm. And hopefully I'll be able to talk about that more soon. And then I'm also working on Death Becomes Her, the musical.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's been around for a while.
Which has been developing for a while. But we're doing a workshop next month. And I think we're doing a production next year.
Oh, terrific. That's going to be an interesting one to see how they do that on stage.
I know. Well, and I see things in the script, like, you know, big action sequences, and I'm like, well, that sounds like a lot of music.
And it gets you just salivating for that one, I'm sure.
Yes, excited and terrified.
Yes. Well, I really want to thank both of you for taking the time today to chat about New York, New York, and all the work you guys do, because you guys are, like I said, you guys are the behind the scenes. And you guys are making the show sound the way it sounds, and you're doing it with all sorts of musicals. And I love the future projects you've got. So, I mean, congratulations to you both on your Tony nomination. You. Also, I know, Sam, thank that you. Was your first Tony nomination, right?
First time. Yeah. Yes. And it was amazing.
And I'm sure it was very exciting. And it was a great way to open the Tony Award broadcast with having Anna and Colton up there singing, which was terrific, especially singing New York, New York. Thank you again, you guys. I really appreciate it. And where can people find you? Do you guys have your own websites? Do you guys?
Yes, you can visit me, Sam Davis Music, all one word, .com.
And I'm an older guy, so you have to just look me up in the telephone book.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your time and much, much continued success with New York, New York, and the cast recording, which I will make sure to get a link on here so people can get tickets to the show and also get that cast recording. Oh, and do we know, one last question, do we know if we're going to actually get a physical CD?
I've been told yes, but later in the year, like in the fall. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. I look forward to that. Thanks again, you guys.
Great. Thank you.
Good to talk to you.